Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, raising children calls for a tremendous investment. Some 16 years ago, the government of Canada made a study of what it would cost to raise a child from the day of birth to its 18th year. And it came to the conclusion that it would cost $160,000 to raise a child from birth to its birthday of 18 years. Now, that was 16 years ago. And no doubt, the amount has grown much more than $160,000. But nevertheless, it tells us that it costs a lot to raise children. And I trust that we realize that so that we will be diligent in raising those funds through the years. And thankfully, we don't have to lay out all that money at the very beginning of it. But nevertheless, that tells us something already about the investment that we have in regard to children. But there's something far more important than that financial investment. And that is spiritual investment. Far more important, spiritual investments. And by the way, when I said $160,000, they did not even include any Christian school tuitions. That's another story yet. And so, we must consider this hour the spiritual investment that we must take in consideration when we have children. At this baptism service, I therefore want to consider this with you because I believe that it will be helpful, especially for young parents such as Ben and Leah, to know what the Bible teaches. And one of the things that the Bible teaches is that we are called to redeem the time. And so that's also an investment as well. We are to redeem the time, and I hope to say a little bit more about that. And so let us then consider God's charge to us to redeem the time. In the first place, the wisdom of doing this. Secondly, the reason for doing this. And then thirdly, the manner in doing this. Now, congregation, God charges us in our text to redeem the time. And when we read that, we might ask, well, what does God mean to tell us that we are to redeem the time? Time here does not necessarily, or it does not really mean so much as a period of hours or days or of weeks, but rather of opportunity. Opportunity. Redeeming the time, therefore, could be interpreted then as buying up the opportunity. Or, as one translator has stated it very precisely, making the most of the opportunity. Making the most of the opportunity. Now, this is what I want to call then spiritually or biblically the wisdom that God wants to show us, you and me. Or let me say it this way. Parents are to conduct themselves wisely by being shoppers at the market called wisdom and opportunity. In fact, this market is the market of time, where time and opportunity can be purchased, where we can, as it were, buy the opportunities necessary, and it is to be found with God. In other words, wise parents are Christian parents who shop for opportunities, who look for opportunities, and who make the most of opportunities. Well, you might ask, well, opportunities for what? In a general way, opportunities to serve the Lord and Master, to speak well of Him, and to win others for Christ. That is the opportunity that God calls us to look for, and that for each one of us. But about parents then? Well, I may ask already, parents, are you wise in redeeming the time? Are you wise in your conduct toward each other, and then particularly toward your children, by looking for opportunities, making the most of the opportunities by speaking to your children about the Word of God and about the person that comes out and looms large, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 30 tells us, and I want to quote it, "He who wins souls is wise." He who wins souls is wise. Now, this is what the Apostle Paul is also busy telling us here in his letter to the Ephesians, our text passage. Wise Christians, you see, they redeem the time by winning souls for Christ. And whose souls could be more precious than the souls of our children and grandchildren? Again, are you wise Christians? And are you wise parents? And I ask this on purpose because the Apostle Paul tells us in our text that we are not to conduct ourselves as fools. And this points up especially to the fact that yes, even though we call ourselves Christians, we could conduct ourselves foolishly. We could conduct ourselves in an unwise way. This is why Paul speaks of it in this way. And how could it be that we as Christians could be foolish at times? Well, when we become so involved in making a living for ourselves, becoming so involved in setting up a business, becoming so involved in entertaining ourselves, or doing what we like to do rather than what God wants us to do. We as Christians, we can sometimes conduct ourselves foolishly when instead of redeeming the time, we are actually busy wasting the time. And as Christians, we often do waste our time, don't we? And that in so many different ways. Instead of teaching our children the ways of the Lord by word and by example, we tantalize ourselves and our children, perhaps, with the ways of the world. Instead of being a clear example of Christ-likeness, we try to follow the world's dictates in terms of outward appearance, in terms of political correctness in speech, in terms of ways and habits that are known as being postmodern. Instead then of listening to the Word of God and of doing what His Word tells us, we are so much caught up with ourselves. Now, you know the story of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had the greatest word along with them, the living word, so to speak. And He was standing amongst them. He was always busy teaching them. The Lord Jesus Christ was there. And what did they do? They bickered amongst themselves who actually was the greatest. All of this points up to the utter foolishness and a waste of time that Christians sometimes engage in. And so, dear people, I urge you, let us stop wasting our time. Let us stop being foolish. Let us stop being unwise. We need to become serious about redeeming the time, buying up the opportunity which the Lord God gives to us, and learn to make the most of those opportunities. We must therefore learn to become wise Christians. Notice what our text says. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now, notice our text does not call us to be smart or highly intelligent or clever, but our text does call us to be wise. You see, there are a lot of smart people around, some of them highly intelligent, some of them very clever, while at the same time they might not be wise at all. You see, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to be wise, to be a wise Christian parent. For that matter, your children don't need to become rocket scientists in order to be wise Christians. There are Christian adults, but also Christian children, whose intelligent quotient is not very high. They cannot accumulate much knowledge. They struggle through school year after year after year. Their capacity for memory is very small. And yet they can be wise. They can be wise. I want to go one step further yet. This is why mentally challenged children can still be wise Christians. Why those with significant intelligent blockage can still be Christians. And why those identified in school as slow learners can still be Christians. You see, God does not require of us to have a great accumulation of knowledge as such. That's not what He requires of us. As we grow up, God wants us to know several things that are important. And that is, one, that we are sinners by nature. And that Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. And that through His sacrifice that He made on the cross is sufficient for your and my salvation. And that we believe in Him and that we depend on Him for our salvation of sin and from sin. And if this is all that your little child can grasp, that's enough. That's enough. It is possible for your child then to be saved. But you, and I speak to all parents, but you as parents, wise parents, must look for opportunities to show this to your child and to your children. Redeem the time, so our text tells us. I pray that you see the wisdom of doing this. But now secondly, let us consider the reason for doing this. Redeeming the time because, so we're told, the days are evil. And as you are well aware of, we do live in evil days, don't we? The world, by and large, has done away with God. The world has done away with His Word, the Bible. The Ten Commandments and the Lord's Prayer, they have long been banished already from public schools and from political circles. The world has set aside the sacredness of marriage and has broken apart the institution of the family and has turned the nurture and discipline of children upside down. And then I ask you, has it made the world a better place to live in? I trust you know the answer. How tragic, for instance, that a child in the womb can be labeled as a fetus and can therefore be aborted at will. How tragic that children can be abused in unmentionable ways, can be lured into taking drugs, and then left to commit suicide. Evil is breaking loose around us in this world, dear people, and that in the most blatant form. And you are, and I are told by those higher up that what we need to do is be politically correct in our speech and that we are to be tolerant of all of that, because if we are not, then we're guilty of discrimination. You know the story. Redeeming the times, for the days are evil, so says our text. Dear parents, we, you and I, we are called to raise our children in an environment of evil. An environment of evil. And we can shelter our little ones for a little while when they're still young. But they soon reach the age where they themselves will be confronted with it. A chapter later, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul forewarns us and tells us, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. You see, these principalities and these powers and these rulers of the darkness and these spiritual hosts of wickedness, they are targeting our children and our grandchildren. They want to brainwash our children and our grandchildren before they come to the age where they begin to think of themselves and for themselves. And this is what makes our days and our world so evil. There's a brand of Marxism, or if you want to call it communism, that has taken over also in our country, which has told parents that certain government agencies will raise our children through daycare centers and special schools, and especially special school curriculums that specialize in sex education and gender questions. Such government agencies have all but obliterated all parental authority. And if at any time, it is certainly at this time that we must say that we are living in evil days, as our text points out. Let me give you one example. A 12-year-old in Ontario won't be able to drive a car, buy cigarettes, or vote for a good number of years yet. But this same 12-year-old can get an abortion all on their own, without even having to talk with her parents about it. As Christian parents, we must be well informed, dear people. We must be wise in the reasons that are obvious, I trust. That is why our text says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Well now, as my third point, in respect to redeeming the time, let me briefly say something yet about the manner of doing this. Our text sheds light on this as well, when it says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of God is, what the will of the Lord is. And dear people, I think that everyone here knows very well what the will of the Lord is, don't we? All you need to do is open your Bible and start reading it, and there you have the will of God. Let me just be theological and doctrinal for a moment. Let me explain to you that this text does not mean to speak about the secret will of God, but the revealed will of God. As we are told, for instance, in Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. So it's the revealed things of God that we have here in the Bible belong to us and to our children. And the revealed will of God for parents and for our children is very clear. God's will is not that evil should spread in the hearts and in the lives of our children. We must therefore protect our children from such spreading of evil. Now, this may mean, in practical terms, it may mean not permitting some TV shows to be watched. This may mean purchasing and setting up an internet nanny. This may mean withholding the purchase of a smartphone until they are of a responsible age. God's will is not that our children should indulge in wickedness and in perversion. This means early teaching sessions with your little one about what is bad and what is good, and why badness seems to be so attractive to our human nature, and why goodness seems to be so alien to our human nature. This means also that you have household rules and guidelines in place, and yes, that corrective discipline should be exercised. God's will is not that any infants should be aborted. This means, therefore, that we as parents should never be shy to speak to our maturing children, our teenagers, about abstaining from sexual immorality. God's will is not that our children walk around in a daze because of a drug overdose. This means that we as parents become knowledgeable about the growing crisis in our land, and that we, you and I, become very vigilant. That is, that we watch them very carefully in terms of our children's behavior and even what you could possibly smell on them. God's will is not that our children should die in their wickedness. God himself makes this very clear, doesn't he? As you read, for instance, Ezekiel 33, verse 11. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his way and live. And then hear God pleading, as it were, he says, turn from your evil ways, for why would you die? This means, therefore, that we as parents take every opportunity to teach our children the very word of God and the very revealed will of God. Because by it, the way of salvation is taught. Namely, as I said already, namely that Jesus Christ suffered and died on the cross, and that he rose again, and that he lives in order to seek and to save the lost. This means that we, as parents, speak to our children about godly living. And that we not only do so by word, but that we do so also by example as well. Example of godly living. I would dare say that the children will observe far more than what they will hear. But let me also say something positively. It is God's will that we and our children walk circumspectly. This means that we and our children learn to give careful consideration of the circumstances around us, and that at the same time we cultivate a desire to avoid mistakes and avoid bad consequences. In other words, that we think, what is this happening around us? The Bible text tells us that we are to live wisely. And how may we learn this, you might ask? By praying for wisdom. Praying for wisdom. By asking the Holy Spirit to give us the necessary wisdom in order to be good parents, both through word and through example. By getting back to the very word of God that we have in front of us, where we may catch that wisdom, so that we may absorb that wisdom, so that we may practice it on ourselves and on our children. And if you need help, and if you need direction as to, now where can I find all these wonderful things about wisdom, just go to the book of Proverbs. Go to the book of Proverbs. And dear parents, we have great encouragement through baptism. It shows God's will and it shows God's covenant promise for you and for your children. Barely 2 months old, I gather, but God has placed a sign of his grace-filled covenant promise on your little one to show that he, God, means the best for your little one. Therefore, all parents take note, and all who are baptized take note. We have heard God's charge to us to redeem the time, to make the most of the opportunities that are given to us. Let us be wise and let us not waste a moment. Let us not waste an opportunity. However, perhaps you have to admit at this time that you are not yet a Christian at all. Now I ask you, think about this for a moment. Has the world been able to fulfill your promises? The promises that it has given you? And are you satisfied with what the world has done for you? Has the world and its practices and its recommendations made you a better man or a better woman? I don't think I need to guess. The world has let you down a number of times, hasn't it? And perhaps it is still doing the same thing. Well, now I may tell you with my hand on the Word of God, dear people, that the God of the Bible will never ever let you down if you put your trust in Him and in Him alone and place all of your hope, all of your expectations with Him. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has sacrificed His life in order to give you and me the new life, a life that will satisfy you to no end. And therefore turn to Him and ask Him to set you free from the slavery of this world and from the bondage of sin that is holding you down and from the predilections towards evil. Ask Him to make you a follower of what is good and what is wise. And you will experience then also a new way of raising children and a wiser way of parenting. You will learn to redeem the time, and it will be good for you and for your children, even good for our grandchildren. Therefore, redeem the time. Make the most of the opportunities that you are given, not only in order to become a Christian, but also to be wise Christians. You will be the wiser man and the wiser woman for it all. Praise God. Amen.